gösterir. Şimdi ben de bakıyorum herhalde sana herhalde bu bari ki hanım tukurtu harişine bilmek ki sankirtan diyor bilmek ki şehrin ama sankirtan ki sana da itte baktı birinci ki kofen benimle ağabeyi istedir samadı ağabeyi istedir samadı ağabeyi istedir samadı ağabeyi istedir samadı ağabeyi Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text.
Please shut off your cell phones.
Okay. Upadrashta Numanta Cha. Oh, and respond again. That's nice. I didn't know if we could have finished.
Well, we don't have. Nobody's got.
Nobody's got. Okay. Upadrashta Numanta Cha. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. Paramatme Tichapyukto Dehesmin Purushapara. Upadrashta, repeat, Upadrashta,
Upadrashta,
overseer,
overseer,
Anumanta,
Anumanta,
permitter,
permitter,
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also,
Bharta,
Bharta,
master,
master,
Bhokta,
Bhokta,
supreme enjoyer,
supreme enjoyer,
Mahaishwara,
Mahaishwara,
the supreme lord,
Supreme Lord.
Parama Atma.
Parama Atma.
The Super Soul.
Super Soul.
Iti.
Iti.
Also.
Also.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Api.
Api.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Ukta.
Ukta.
Is said.
Is said.
Dehe.
Dehe.
In the body.
In the body.
Asmin.
Asmin.
This.
This.
Purusha.
Purusha.
Enjoyer.
Enjoyer.
Para.
Para.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Translation. Yet in this body, there is another transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. Purport. It is stated here that the super soul, who is always with the individual soul, is the representation of the Supreme Lord. He is not an ordinary living entity. Because the monist philosophers take the knower of the body to be one, they think that there is no difference between the super soul and the individual soul. To clarify this, the Lord says that He is represented as the Paramatma in every body. He is different from the individual soul. He is para, transcendental. the individual soul enjoys the activities of a particular field, but the super soul is present, not as finite enjoyer, nor as one taking part in bodily activities, but as the witness, overseer, permitter, and supreme enjoyer. His name is Paramatma, not Atma, and he is transcendental. It is distinctly clear that the Atma and Paramatma are different. The super soul, the Paramatma, has legs and hands everywhere, but the individual soul does not. And because the Paramat is the Supreme Lord, he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Without the sanction of the Supreme Soul, the individual soul cannot do anything. The individual is mukta, or the sustained, and the Lord is bhokta, or the maintainer. There are innumerable living entities, and he is staying in them as a friend. The fact is that every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has the tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. Because he has this tendency, he is called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the super soul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy, but due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita, and from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith toward me, then you will be happy, he says. Thus the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance toward a blissful eternal life of knowledge. Upadrashtanu mantamcha marta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purushapa. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul. Om ajnana timarandasya gnanjana savakaya chaksha unminitam dina tasmai shri gurave namaha ukam kuruti vachamam pangum mangayate gani yat kripatam aham adeshi gnanjana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vidasa Swami Bhakti Namani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Niya Vishesha Shandavari Vasti Chadesa Tarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare In this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna answering question placed by Arjuna at the beginning of the chapter. he asks, I wish to know about Prakriti, Purusha, and the field, and the knower of the field, and the knowledge, and the object of knowledge. So there are two knowers. There is the Kshetra, Kshetragya. Kshetra means the field of activities, and Kshetragya, Kshetragya means the knower of the field of activities. And this verse and other verses describing the existence of Paramatma are giving us information about one of the knower of the fields, the super knower, Paramatma. And he's also considered to be that which is knowable, which was another question which Arjuna was asking. That to be known by the individual soul. Both are seated within the heart of this material body. One is the knower of his own field of activities, the minute living entity, and the super soul is, as described elsewhere, everywhere his hands and legs, everywhere his eyes, everywhere his ears. He's pervasive, existing within the hearts of all living entities. And just as the example is given, as the sun is situated in one place in the sky, it is simultaneously many people throughout a very wide tract extending maybe 5,000 miles. They may all declare that the sun is on their head. So in the same way, all the examples also given, the reflection, theory of reflection, how the sun is situated in one place and yet it can be perceived, its presence can be perceived, and the reflection of various pots of water everywhere. You can look in the pot of water and see the sun reflected, no matter what place it is in. It will be seen divided, but actually it is one. In the same way, the super soul is situated within the heart of all living beings. And here it is described what he is doing. His function as the super soul is to witness and to give sanction for the activities of the living entities according to their desires. Just a couple of days ago, I overheard as I was coming to the kitchen, Srila Prabhupada was giving one talk. And he was answering a question by one devotee. The devotee was trying to understand, where does my individuality come into play? Where does my effort come into play? He was quoting a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Junatishtati, where it's described that the Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of every living being, and he is directing the wanderings of the living entity who are seated as if on a machine made of material energy. So he was asking if Krishna is directing the wanderings of everyone, then do I have to surrender? Isn't Krishna going to direct me? Essentially that was his question. He's directing everyone, he's situated in everyone's heart, and he's directing everybody's wanderings, and he'll certainly direct me to wherever I'm destined to go. Prabhupada's answer, of course, was very clear and concise. He said, no, there is another verse of Bhagavad Gita. Why don't you remember this verse? Krishna says, Yaya tamam bhajante tangstadhaya bhajam yaham. He says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So he said, you have not remembered this verse. You're remembering that verse, but you have not remembered this verse. And Prabhupada went on to explain. He said, yes, he is directing everyone. If you are surrendered, he'll direct in one way. And if you are not surrendered, he'll direct in a different way. But everyone is being directed. Those who are surrendered to Krishna, then he'll direct them in such a way so they can come closer to him. And those who are not surrendered to Krishna, then he will direct them in such a way so that he'll give them all facility by his sanction, his permission. And Prabhupada even gave the example He said, even if the living entity says, no, I have decided after long deliberation that I want to go to hell. And therefore, Prabhupada says, yes, so Super Soul will direct you in such a way that you can achieve your desired goal. So direction is there to everyone. But there's a distinction between direction which is given for one who has actually surrendered, or the example that is given, compared to be like two birds who are seated within the tree. One bird is enjoying the fruits, the other bird is simply witnessing, waiting for the bird who is enjoying the fruits to turn to him, the other, and to follow the direction how to come to him. Prabhupada also gives the example. He says that the living entity, the super soul, is situated within the heart, observing, witnessing the desires of the living entity. And he remains there. And when the living, just observing and giving sanction, when the living entity is persistent, then the super, by the living entity's persistence, then the super soul says, okay, you can go ahead at your own risk. And Prabhupada used that expression. At your own, Krishna finally says, okay, by your persistence, you can go ahead and do it, but now it's at your own risk. He says, in Bhagavad Gita, if you take shelter of me, I'll protect you. So therefore, Krishna takes a particular position according to our individual choice. But we cannot do anything, or as oftentimes stated, not a blade of grass can move without the will or sanction of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, the Lord is directing everybody. The position of the surrendered soul, or one who is endeavoring, as Krishna says, Te Sam Satatam Yutam, which is another verse that Prabhupada quoted in connection to this question the devotee had asked. Desham Satatam Yutanam Vajatam Pitti Purvakam, says to those who are always endeavoring to come to me, I give them the understanding with which they can come to me. He gives them from within the heart, he destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance, and he directs them how the living entity can actually approach or come to him. Surrender has to be there. Every living entity is surrendering either to a superior dictation or an inferior dictation. I was reading also not long ago, Prabhupada was giving the example that because the living entity is independent, partially, has partial independence, he is given the freedom of choice. He said, in order to have freedom of choice, one must have the facility to choose that which is wrong. Otherwise, how is there a question of freedom of choice? So, if one chooses to surrender to that which is wrong by his persistence, then the Lord, then Prabhupada explains, he becomes silent. He simply becomes silent and observes. Although he's trying, sometimes a living entity, he knows he shouldn't do it, but because he's driven, as Arjuna asks in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the question, what is it that forces a person to act, sometimes even apparently against his own will? Krishna says, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the motive passion, which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So although the living entity may suspect, well, I shouldn't do this, and its conscience, Prabhupada, he even uses this word conscience in one place, is saying that his conscience is saying, no, you shouldn't do it, but still, he does it. Knows he shouldn't do it, but he does it anyways. So, Krishna will dictate in such a way that the living entity can fulfill his various desires. But unfortunately, because he's not surrendering to Krishna, he's surrendering to something else. He's surrendering to the modes of material nature. He's surrendering to lust, anger, greed, these six whips which are described, which cause so much suffering for the living entity. Illusion, pride, envy, lust, anger, and greed. He is driven by these, and therefore the consequences are suffered in due course of time, because the living entity has to reap the fruit of his desires. So suffering may be there. And then when the living entity suffers, sometimes he may ask himself, why am I suffering? How has this happened? Why me? But because we neglected. We neglected Krishna's warning. We neglected it. We said, no, I want to be persistent. So Krishna finally said, okay, at your own risk. Now you can go. Even now you can pursue. He was trying to suggest something else. But by our persistence, at our own risk, we took. And the risk, of course, is having to reap the consequences and suffer. So the living entity must surrender. Prabhupada oftentimes gives that example, that we're not independent. We must surrender to some dictation, either the inferior dictation or the superior dictation. If we surrender to the inferior dictation, coming from the three modes of material nature, then the living entity, I think in the previous verse, what is it? Karanam, yes. Purusha prakrito prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species of life. This is the consequences. He has to take repeated birth and death in the material world. But when the living entity turns towards Krishna, and that is the point that Srila Prabhupada is making here, very clearly in this commentary. Krishna is going to dictate, he's going to say, sometimes he'll say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. We should hear him. We should try to listen. Everyone thinks to hear super soul means simply to hear, come to me. Or it's always something positive, that here I am, can't you see me? Just come to me. But sometimes he'll say, no, because we have to surrender, we have to choose. We have our choice. And surrender means voluntarily I have to bend my will towards something which is being asked of me. Without that surrender, how can I actually get help from Krishna? Unless I voluntarily bend my will according to what Krishna is trying to tell me. By that way, Krishna says, okay, you take one step to me, I'll take 10 steps to you. Prabhupada oftentimes used that example. As you surrender to me, I'll reward you accordingly. So sometimes Krishna may say, don't do this. Be careful. You should not do this. And we think, what is this? We're not listening. He's trying, but we're not listening. Why are we not listening? It's very difficult to hear when you're being told to do something or not do something that you want to do. Right? It's just like try to have your young child, when he wants something, try to get him to listen. No, you can't have it. Does the child accept it so quickly? Usually it requires some persistence. Some persistence is there. Usually, because the child's nature is shreyas. Excuse me, prayas. Child's nature is, I want some immediate gratification. As Prabhupada describes shreyas and prayas. Shreyas means that which is long-term beneficial. Prabhupada gives the example, just like a child is told by the parents, you should go to school and consider your future, get a good education. So that is shreyas. And prayas is when the child says, no, I don't want to do that, I want to play. So the child wants to play. Doesn't want to think of his long-term welfare. So in the same way, Prabhupada even used this I think it's in one commentary he describes the childlike mentality of the living entity in reference to this spontaneity of I guess in modern times the slogan is just do it. Maybe I don't know, but don't take heed of any good warnings, but just do it, and that will provide you the immediate gratification you're looking for. So the point is that we have to learn to bend our will towards a superior dictation. And when we bend in that way, then Krishna says, I help from within. I'm there. I'm helping. I give the understanding. I will come to you. I will give you the understanding by which you can come to me. So that type of surrender, Prabhupada says, then the Lord will dictate in a different way. He'll dictate because he sees that the living entity is making the effort to move towards surrendering to the superior dictation coming from the Lord within, also, and coming from the instructions of the Vaishnavas without, or as Prabhupada says right here in his commentary, Krishna instructs from within and without. From without he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita, and from within he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Tries to convince. But he's given us the independence to choose. So, this is the position of the super soul in the heart. Prabhupada says here, he describes the super soul as all knowing, and not only is he the permitter and giving sanction, but he is the supreme enjoyer. He's described right here as a witness, overseer, permitter, and supreme enjoyer of every living being. Therefore, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita is helping us to understand that there is a distinction between the soul and the super soul. And our position is to embark upon the endeavor to follow the superior dictation so that we can ultimately achieve direction towards coming ultimately to Krishna. Now, as we know, simply perceive the presence of the super soul within the heart is not the ultimate goal. Vedanti tat tatvit vidas tatvit yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. Learned transcendentalists who know this absolute truth, they call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. There are three phases of the absolute truth. The Paramatma feature is the feature of the Lord within the heart, but beyond is the feature of the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, who exists in the eternal transcendental realm, the spiritual world. And whatever the living entity makes as the object of his surrender, the object of his meditation, and the object of his efforts to satisfy, then that aspect of the Lord will help him. Now, of course, if we surrender to the Lord within the heart, or try to surrender to the direction of the Lord within the heart, the superior direction, as we said, which begins by restricting ourselves from certain things that we shouldn't do, Prabhupada explains that when we do that, then gradually we get dictation also how to come to Krishna. We get not only what we shouldn't do, but what we should do. And then what happens is that the heart becomes cleansed. The heart becomes gradually free from all unwanted desires, which are obstacles in the path of devotional service. I think we spoke about this on Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day, although we did not give much detail. We spoke about the existence of these various types of anarthas that are there within the heart and how they are obstacles in the path of devotional service. And these anarthas are unwanted desires that are difficult to overcome by our own efforts, but can be removed by the mercy of the Lord when we try to surrender to Him. Krishna will eradicate them from within the core of our hearts and help us to overcome these obstacles. If we try to overcome them by our own endeavors, it's very difficult. We cannot simply say, okay, desire, go away. Very difficult. So many desires will manifest. Even when we make a little effort to surrender to Krishna, immediately we'll see some resistance. The mind's tendency will be, don't think of Krishna now. Mind's tendency is just, whatever effort we make to remember the Lord, then we'll find that more and more distractions will appear to oppose and fight, saying, no, there's other things you should think about now besides Krishna. It's a constant battle, it's a constant struggle. And to advance in spiritual life means one has to recognize that if he wants to advance, he must be prepared to struggle. If we don't struggle, then we've surrendered to Maya. It is always a struggle from beginning till more elevated stages of devotional service. An example is given that simply because we're struggling, we should not simply accept that because I'm struggling, I'm in Maya. No. Struggling is good. It's when you've given up all struggles. Then the result is you've succumbed to to Maya. But one who's struggling with his senses, struggling with his mind, battling internally between the various forces that are bubbling up within his heart, which are offering many proposals for an independence, and which the Lord is saying, no, don't do that. Of course, this is a stage of devotional service which is called Yudhavikalpa, which is Anishtita Bhakti. Anishtita Bhakti means it's flickering, it's not very fixed. And one of the symptoms of Anishtita Bhakti is called Yudhavikalpa, it's indecisiveness. We're always fluctuating between surrender and not surrender. If I surrender, I'll get this benefit and that benefit and that benefit. But then we'll always look for other examples of people who've not surrendered to such a great degree and how they've actually benefited in some way in devotional service. So I can not surrender and still hope that I can make progress in devotional service. A beautiful culprit. It's called indecisiveness. We can't decide. We can't remain fixed upon an object or a goal which we trying to accomplish for the Lord's pleasure. Therefore, if we struggle at least, another example of anishtita bhakti is called struggling with the senses, vishaya sambara. We struggle, we make a vow that from this day on I won't do this anymore because I know it's not beneficial. And then the next day comes and we still do it. Struggling with the senses. And then there's this, what, niyamakshama? Sometimes we make vows to do something. Every Ekadasi I will chant more than 16 rounds. And then Ekadasi comes, and I'll fast and I'll chant more than 16 rounds. And then Ekadasi comes and we see somebody eating something, saying, wow. Maybe next to God is here. We're still struggling. We're trying to make the vow, but we just can't keep it. You know? But it's anishtata. It's flickering. Until one actually comes to the stages of nishta, fixed, his devotional service will display such symptoms. And utsahamayi is another characteristic of anishtita bhakti, false enthusiasm. False enthusiasm means that sometimes we become enthusiastic because we have a particular conception of ourselves as being qualified. And if others recognize it, it gives us some enthusiasm. If others see that I have certain qualification in devotional service, then I have enthusiasm. But if I don't get the recognition, I lose my enthusiasm. It's false. It's utsahamayi. It's not real enthusiasm. You know, sometimes we think, I've been trying to play cartels for 5 years now. Finally, I got it. And everybody's, just see how nice, play cartels. And then somebody says, stop playing cartels. You're offbeat. all enthusiasm to play kartals immediately goes away. I had this conception that I thought it was really good and some usahamai. False. So this is another symptom of anishta, anishtata bhakti. And the last is called tarangarangani. Tarangarangani is enjoying the benefits of devotional service. I've chanted Hare Krishna for so many years, and now that I've chanted Hare Krishna for so many years, I really like the respect I've gotten from being a Hare Krishna for 25, 30 years. I try to enjoy it, my position, or other benefits that may come from respect or that one may get as a result of his devotional service. And one tries to enjoy it, but actually, as Prabhupada has explained here, that the Lord is the super soul, the Paramatma, within the heart of every living being, is the supreme enjoyer of all of our endeavors, and everything is ultimately meant for his pleasure. We should not try to enjoy anything. Real enjoyment comes when the Lord gives it. That is the Lord's nature. That is how he reciprocates with his devotees. He becomes so purchased by the devotee's efforts to please him without any reservation, without any conditions, that the devotee will not ask for anything. And even though the devotee will not ask for anything, the Lord will demand that he accept something that the Lord will give him. Because that's what the Lord, how he wants to reciprocate with the devotee who is really surrendered and thought exclusively of the Lord's pleasure. This type of pleasure given by the Lord is insurpassable. This type of pleasure, this type of achievement, this type of attainment goes beyond even satisfying the Lord within the heart. Although the Lord is very pleased, certainly, when we try to surrender to, when he says, don't do this. But he becomes so pleased that what does he do when the devotee tries to surrender to don't do this? He dictates in such a way and how we go to him. And says, yes, now come here. The Lord will come and he'll actually bring us forward. Or he'll send the devotee to come to us. And although we feel ourselves so unqualified, he'll bring us forward and will accept us. That is real advancement in devotional service. That is how Krishna reciprocates with the devotee who makes the effort to surrender to the superior dictation coming both within and without through the instructions given in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord will help. Just like I've been reading, Pyari is always asking me to, you know, about, I've been reading lately this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he says, you know, speak about what you've been reading about, because I've read a few volumes of it now over the last several weeks. And it's a very wonderful description of how, in the first section, of course, is a wonderful description. There's two different stories of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. One is the story of Narada Muni, who is looking for the recipient who's received Krishna's mercy the most. And everywhere he goes from one person to, he goes first to a Brahmin, then he goes to a king, then he goes to Indra, then he goes to, you know, to higher planetary systems, to Prahlad, to Hanuman, then he goes to Vaikuntha, spiritual world. He goes from one person to the next, and each person he goes to, he sees in them a certain character and qualification that he's heard about from the previous person he visited. And then he goes and says, you are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And each Vaishnava he approached, each Vaishnava gave different arguments showing how actually he was not the recipient of Krishna's mercy. He felt himself in so many ways unqualified to receive Krishna's mercy. Because that's the natural characteristic of a Vaishnava. He never thinks, I'm qualified. The actual characteristic, he thinks, I'm not qualified. And then each Vaishnava who speaks in this way gives various reasons and shows very logically how he's convinced that he's not qualified for having received Krishna's mercy, and then glorifies another Vaishnava who he perceives as being far superior to him. And then Narada Muni goes to each person, and finally he's told to go to Dwarka, and then from there he's told that he should go to Uddhava, who's the closest confidential associate, and he goes to Uddhava, and then Uddhava reveals to him who are the real recipients of Krishna's mercy, and then takes Narada Muni to the spiritual world and shows them how they are recipients of Krishna's mercy, when by Krishna's own display of total surrender to their love, absolute surrender, shows how he's totally controlled by the love of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, how they control him, and how he even forgets his own divinity and becomes totally bewildered by their love, as that's how powerful their love is over him. And it's a long story, but anyways, I can give some details. But that's the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But the second part is the story of Gopakumara. And Gopakumara relates his own personal story of how he also traversed through all the different spheres of existence, all the way to the topmost place, the spiritual world, and showed that how that the object of his meditation, which was the result of his having received a mantra given to him by his spiritual master, which was the Gopal mantra, it's displayed that how the living entity, or how specifically Gopakumara, was not satisfied every place that he went, because within his heart his meditation was on a cowherd boy who he wanted to play with and act spontaneously with, and he wanted to simply serve by gratifying the object of his meditation by spontaneous devotional service. So even though he went to so many places and had personal association with the Lord, within his heart always some slight dissatisfaction was there, and therefore, and he began to continuously chant this mantra, this Gopal mantra, and gradually, effortlessly, he would traverse to the next higher abode and get the opportunity to associate with the Lord. But still that aspect of the Lord was not fully satisfying to him, because his meditation was the topmost abode as a friend with Krishna in Vrindavan, a cowherd boyfriend. And Gopakumara is telling his whole story of his whole life to one Mathura Brahmin, who was given the same mantra also by the goddess Kamakya, who had actually given it to him, and he was directed from within his heart to go to this place in the forest of Vrindavan and to meet Gopakumara, who was sitting there waiting for him to come, and was told on that particular day by Srimati Radharani that this Brahmin will come to this place. I want you to tell him the story. I want you to direct him in such a way how he can achieve the fulfillment of his desires by his chanting of this mantra. So Gopakumara decided that he would tell his own story of his own life. And in order to get the Brahmin convinced that he was worthy of being listened to, this Gopakumara told the Brahmin exactly what was going on in his heart. And because he knew what was going on in his heart, the Brahmin immediately had some faith. Because that's the position. That's the position of a spiritual master. He should understand the heart. And we actually, because he's also external manifestation of Super Soul. So because he understood the heart of this Mathura Brahmin, the Brahmin had some confidence to listen, and Gopakumara, who normally when giving citing evidence, should not speak about himself. So therefore he had to get his faith first so he could speak about himself and speak his whole story about how he went to achieved friendship with Krishna in the spiritual world. The Brahmin heard very attentively the whole story, and the result of his sangha, his association with Gopal Kumar, is that he also achieved perfection and also became assumed his original identity as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan as a result of Gopal Kumar, Gopal Kumar is actually, his name is Sarupa in the spiritual world, but he was known as Gopal Kumar before. And the mature Brahmin, whose name was not given, he also achieved his own Sarup, his eternal identity as Jai Sharma, the Krishna's cowherd boyfriend in the spiritual world, as a result of his association with Gopal Kumar. So we brought this story, I really encapsulated into a very small summary. But we brought it up to show, or to illustrate, that the object of our meditation, certainly if we surrender to the Lord, giving whatever direction He is, trying to help us to, and remind us that, don't forget, I'm watching everything. You may think you can hide something from somebody else, but you can't hide anything from me. And in due course of time, we're going to be reminded that we neglected the Lord within our hearts. Therefore, it's always best to remember Krishna's presence within our heart, to remember He's there, and to try to satisfy Him. And then, by that process of surrender, then Krishna will help us to achieve that which is the real object of our meditation, or which should become the real object of our meditation, as the result of associating with Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, that may awaken within our hearts the desire also to achieve the same destination as those devotees who achieved spontaneous loving devotional service to the Lord in the spiritual world. For them, super soul is not sufficient. It is not satisfying. It can't fully satisfy the soul. But the Lord will help us by bringing us into the association of those Vaishnavas who can instill within our hearts the desire to achieve Krishna's lotus feet in the spiritual world. That benefit, that is made available by this process of surrender. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes his commentary by saying that thus the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance toward a blissful eternal life of knowledge. So, this is a little something about what is spoken about in this verse. Anybody like to ask some questions or comments? Yes.
Aspiring devotee and some honor of power, or
aspiring devotee
has some honor of power lost due to previous activity.
Has some what now?
Due to previous activity.
He has some what?
Lost desire. Uh-huh. But he or she is chanting mantra more perfectly in perfection. How will Krishna will help?
Lust is there within the heart of every living being. Krishna explains it is lust only, and he says where lust is situated, you know, it's there within the heart, it's there in the senses, it's different places where it can be found. Lust is the actual perversion of our original love for God, which is the cause of our bondage in the material world. And to actually become free from all material contamination means to be free from lust. So as long as the living entity still is within this material world, there'll be traces or symptoms of this lust, which will manifest in various ways. But Krishna helps because he sees, as we explained before, how much we're endeavoring to please him by chanting, by hearing. Especially these are two very powerful processes of devotional service, which the Lord will help from within the heart to cleanse desire. Shrinvata, Svakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana. Shri Krishna, who is the super soul within the heart of every living being, he cleanses this desire for material enjoyment from within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear about Krishna. That's how Krishna helps from within the heart. He helps by taking them away. We need to cultivate the urge. That urge to hear. Because what is the nature of the material? The nature of the material world is to forget. And how can we remember unless we are reminded? We may try to remember by our own efforts, but we already gave examples of what happens when we try to remember by our own efforts alone. Maya is always there, suggesting something else. But we have to develop an urge to hear his messages when properly heard and chanted. Properly heard and chanted means when spoken of, when spoken in such a way that they impact some instruction, some meaning, some words are impacted there within the heart. And one realizes, yes, I have forgotten Krishna. I'm not remembering Krishna now. That's how a devotee is supposed to feel. He should never become complacent thinking, I've done as much as I can. No. Complacency is simply the way to slide down. That is all. A sadhaka is one who's never complacent. Sadhaka is one who realizes there is a goal, and although I may still be far from it, just like in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, there's one verse Lord Krishna speaks to Uddhava, and he says that having awakened faith in hearing these my narrations about me, knowing that all sense enjoyment leads to suffering, being disgusted with sense enjoyment and knowing that it leads to suffering, but still he cannot give it up completely. My devotee, she continued to worship me with faith and love. Even though my devotee may sometimes fall victim, knowing that this will lead to suffering, because he has this faith to always go on hearing about me, he will sincerely repent when he realizes that he's fallen victim to lust. He'll repent. He'll voluntarily accept the suffering by his repentance, rather than, well, I'm going to have to suffer. How can a person remain happy if he knows he's going to have to suffer? If he's so convinced that all sense enjoyment leads to suffering, Krishna says, it's okay, be happy. How can you be happy if you know you're going to suffer? The only way you can be happy is if you voluntarily suffer and repent. And therefore Krishna says, it's okay, go on hearing about me. Because if you just go on hearing about me, that demonstrates that you've awakened your faith in something higher. You've awakened your faith in me. And because you have faith in me, I'll take these obstacles away. I'll eradicate the lust from within your heart. I will remove them. Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, declares this divine energy of mind consisting of three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But if you surrender to me, I'll help you to cross beyond. That type of help we need if we want to overcome lust. Therefore, when a devotee is chanting Hare Krishna, what he's praying for? He's praying to the internal potency of the Lord. Help me. I am helpless. I cannot overcome it. Unless you help me, how can I overcome this material energy? Prabhupada says, like a child crying for his mother. When we chant like that, then we'll feel Krishna's there. He's hearing our pleas. Sometimes even tears may come to our eyes. We may cry in remembrance of the things that we've done and lament. But those tears are the price to pay if we want Krishna's help. He's ready. But we have to pay some price.
I'm not sure if I was hearing correctly, but you were mentioning something about you know, if you surrender, then you get some result. And then you can also, people who don't want to really surrender, they can give, think of some examples of people who got some good results, but not surrendering. Did you say something like that?
Well, I was using an example of looking for compromises.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Is there an example? Somebody who didn't surrender and still...
The example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example. I guess I didn't express it very clearly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that one may be thinking, should I become a householder or should I become a renunciate? And then one will think, well, Mahajans, so many of the Mahajans were householders.
And that's what I got to do.
I should become a householder. That's an example.
Okay.
Is this a stump the Swami question?
No way of stumping you. You're trying to hear Super Soul's dictation, but in the neophyte stage, it's not always so easy to discriminate if it's actually Super Soul's dictation. Even if Krishna's trying to give us intelligence, we're trying to hear, but we're neophyte, and the mind's also chiming in with a million things. So, when we, you know, what is the standard by which we can understand that yes, this is in fact the dictation of the Super Soul or not?
Well, I was giving the example, though, that in the when we're not in the advanced stages of devotional service, the type of dictation that the Lord gives is, don't do it. In other words, and that's what Prabhupada actually said. You know, I was in this lecture I heard the other day in the kitchen. That's the type of dictation the Lord is saying, don't do it. It's conscience. Don't do it. I mean, if before we get the higher dictations of things which are positive, we should always be wary of doing those things which could lead us to pride. We should be very wary of accepting those things which can make us think that we're advanced. We should be wary of accepting those things, you know, or taking those steps which could cause us to forget my subordinate position to the Lord. Therefore, we should get a clear understanding and a confirmation first. It should be so clear, a resounding confirmation before doing something which could potentially lead us into that kind of dangerous situation. Therefore, the kind of dictations that one is at least is the conscious to avoid those things which are detrimental for one's spiritual life. And if we see clearly that this is detrimental, then we should accept. Even though my nature is to jump into it, we should try to listen to that as Super Soul trying to warn us, to caution us, don't dive into something that you're not ready for yet.
So, in terms of our...
That's one thing. And then the other thing, of course, is just that we know that we're always looking for the Super Soul to manifest instructions externally by the blessings of Vaishnavas, who actually understand our hearts and who actually are our well-wishers and who we perceive as representing Krishna in some way in our lives. They may speak directly. And I was reading a commentary the other day. Prabhupada said when a devotee sincerely tries, there's the story of King Puchendi Bahishat anyways, the Prabhupada was saying in the commentary about the presence of the Super Soul within the heart. He says, when the living entity tries to surrender the instructions of the spiritual master, he said that the Lord will advise him in his heart in a way to how he can go. And he said, but the Lord will not appear as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he may appear in a way which is not the Supreme Personality of God. And he says, the reason is because for those who are not so advanced, they cannot see the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, he will appear in a different form to advise for those who sincerely first trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And of course, Prabhupada gives that, there's a wonderful, in New Vrindavan, I can't remember who it was, in Radha Damodar, who was talking to Srila Prabhupada and asking him about how he met a person who told him that the super soul speaks to him, and therefore I don't need to accept the spiritual master. And there was a very heavy conversation between Prabhupada and this devotee. Do you remember who it was? It was Janardhan, that's right. Prabhupada just like got very heavy with him. He said, if you hear such person speaking in this way, then their speaking is nonsense. And he said, and if you hear them, you are nonsense too. You're not reading my books. Who does Krishna speak to? Don't you know who Krishna speaks to? And Prabhupada, Krishna says, Tesam Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Krishna speaks to those who are always 24 hours a day, Satatam, dedicated in serving the instructions of the spiritual master. He said, there, Krishna speaks to them. So, and it was very long. I'm just giving the essence. So the point is that we first try to serve the order externally. And then, by endeavoring, prolonged effort, trying to serve those orders which are given externally, we get help within. And then, of course, how do we know if it's the actual positive direction? When a person's eating, how does he know his hunger is going away? How does he know it tastes good? It's satisfying. He knows. It's clear. This is confirmed. Until that confirmation is there, he should be careful.
I just wanted to add something with the Janardhan. Two things. One is, after that time, he tried to get all of the tapes and erase them.
Because Prabhupada was so heavy with them.
Yeah.
He was really embarrassed.
I wanted to know about that. And he also said that when Prabhupada was talking to him, there was a lot of devotees, he said all he saw was Prabhupada and everything else was just black. Everywhere else was just him and Prabhupada. And after that, he also studied the books very, very diligently and really learned the philosophy.
And is it that conversation in New York in 76 where the reporter was asking Prabhupada, how do you choose who's the leaders of the temple? Does Krishna directly tell you? And Rameshwar Prabhu interrupted and said, our philosophy is that Krishna gives the intelligence. So in that way, and Prabhupada said, no. Krishna directly tells. A devotee always hears directly from Krishna. So then, I was talking about the other devotees, you know, not the most advanced, but yes, the minor devotees have to hear from the spiritual master. But the devotees, they're always hearing from Krishna at every moment. What to do.
Chaitya Guru. Das.
Maharaj, the super soul is giving some instruction and taking the body to Krishna. I was discussing that topic with Pyar like 2 months ago. And how is that, even though he's one eye, the super soul, the devotee is not satisfied or he make more advance, he wants something like Krishna, you know, like Bhagavan. But I think that if we are like, we have to pay so much to the super soul. You know, then
you have to pay?
No, to pay back. To
pay.
Indebted to the super soul. Then we say, okay, like, now I go to see Krishna.
But Sri Krishna and the Super Soul are not there.
So that's my point. They are the same, because sometimes I hear
that... And for one who actually has love for Sri Krishna, he'll see the Super Soul is not there.
Okay, that's
that.
But because he has love for the Supreme Lord in his original form, he'll see that. Prabhupada says that he'll see the original form of the Lord in his heart. That is, it'll be the manifest in his heart. But the point is, as you say, how is it that he won't be satisfied? The point is that he's not satisfied. It's not that he's indebted, but it's not that he's not satisfying the super soul by surrendering himself to Bhagavan.
It's another way to please the super soul.
Of course. If you go to the source, then certainly you're satisfying all the expansions as well.
Isn't it true also that the loving relationship between Krishna and the living entity, that's not there with Paramatma?
Yes, that's an important point. That we, just like the intimacy is Paramatma, his function is to sanction, right, and to oversee. So, in other words, what kind of intimate exchange is there if you always, it's just like, can I? Can I? The intimacy is not really there, as it is with Krishna. It's like, I'm going to jump on your back. Not can I? That's intimacy, right? That's intimacy, and Krishna will immediately. That's intimacy. Whereas with super soul, no, it's not that type of intimacy. Yeah. I'm going to chastise you.
I'm just thinking, in the form of the spiritual master externally is also the super soul. But we also feel so.
Not the form.
Eh?
It's not the form.
I mean externally, the manifestation.
Yeah.
Of course. The same question is about the spiritual master. I feel like eternal servant of the spiritual master because he's stable. So, we have this intimacy with the spiritual master like that, like with Krishna, but at the same time we feel like his servant, you know, forever. So can you explain something about the relationship with the spiritual master?
Spiritual master is accepted as a friend because he's our well-wisher, just like Krishna says, Suhidam Zarabhutana, I'm the well-wisher of all living beings. But the spiritual master is also, it's described in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, is accepted as our best well-wishing friend. But as far as the intimacy, then no, we always have the position of servant. Just as the same thing is explained when in relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. But with Krishna, there's 5 different types of relationships of intimacy. But with Lord Chaitanya, the predominant relationship is always servant. And it's Lord Chaitanya that actually, but through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that we can actually enter in and understand Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Eshe Vrindavani Radheshadan Pavidarashan Gora Kripa Halehe. One can understand the intimacies of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, but first he must get the mercy of Gora. And before he gets the mercy of Gora, first he has to get the mercy of Nityananda, who is the representative of Nityananda, is the spiritual master. So Nityananda is the greatest servant of Lord Chaitanya, and the spiritual master is a representative of Nityananda, because he helps, he does the cleaning work, right? He helps prepare the soil, he helps the living entity to become free from the anarthas, so that he can actually become qualified to establish his relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Even a proud person, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, he can get the opportunity to establish some bandha with Lord Chaitanya by the mercy of Nityananda, or the spiritual master, Vaishnava. So he brings us into those intimate relationships.
Like a medium.
Yes. I think I'm going to end here, because if it's okay, because I think I've spoken long enough. It's 7 o'clock.
Huh?
I have one more question.
In the cleansing of the conditioned idea, Lord Chaitanya is teaching how to invite Krishna to sit in the heart rather than concentrating on following the dictation of super cells. It's specific to inviting. So is that, should that be our meditation? You know, in a sense, you know, I respect super soul, but I want Krishna to sit in my heart, not super soul. And here's a process that Lord Chaitanya is giving of inviting, of cleansing the heart to invite Krishna himself to sit in the heart.
So what's the question?
Should our focus then, you know, we can take the focus away from the dictations of Paramatma and concentrate on just trying to get Krishna to sit in the heart. Or is that leapfrogging?
No, it's not leapfrogging. So we're chanting on Krishna to get Krishna to sit in the heart. You know, how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna? When I chant these two syllables, Krishna, as Rupa Goswami describes in Vidyadhara Madhava, he said that I desire many, many tongues, because they're dancing, it's like dancing on my tongue, and when there's two syllables Krishna enter my ears, I desire millions of ears. And when there's two syllables Krishna dance within the courtyard of my heart, then my conquers my mind and my senses become inert. So those two syllables are Krishna, who is Akila Rasa Mita Murti, who is the reservoir of all transcendental rasa, who is Krishna within his original form. So that's what we want dancing in our heart. So therefore the means for inviting him into our hearts is through chanting. Huh? What is that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Krishna mantra hoite habi bhuva mochan, Krishna nama hoite habi Krishna rachana. Krishna nama hoite habi Krishna rachana. The name of Krishna is the means by which one can achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's what we're trying to, certainly, by chanting Hare Krishna. And that is all revealed, as Rupa Goswami describes in his Namastaka, through the chanting of the holy name. Okay. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
The Prabhupada ki, Niranjana Swami ki,
Jai.
Thank you.